Praise the Lord. Let's get hooked up.
Amen.
Well, as Andrew said this morning, it's the Word. It's that life in the Word. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. It's the life that's in that Word. Let's turn over to John 21 so we can get on into it. John 21, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Now, this Tiberias, this city here, was one of the nine cities that surrounded this sea. And nine being a finality number, and this was the third showing that Jesus showed himself here to his disciples. So it's representing the third day, which is what we're living in. We're living in that third day, in his everything that he has completed. So as we go here in verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. So there's seven of them there. And seven representing completion or day of rest. That's what the seven is representing here. And these men here, those seven men, were chosen men. Just as you and I are chosen for this walk.
Amen.
We're chosen, we're predestined in this walk.
Amen.
And I've said, how do you know that you're chosen? And the way you know that you're chosen is you're following after the Spirit.
Amen.
You're not following after the man-made programs out here.
Amen.
You're following after the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's not in the cake sales or in the bake sales. It's in getting into the Word, applying yourself to this Word. Letting it become life, letting this Word become life in your everyday walk.
Amen.
And that's what he's showing us here. And he tells us here, hold your finger right here and let's look at Isaiah 61. In verse 1, he talks about the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61 and 1. And he tells you why the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Now, everybody doesn't have the pulpit ministry, as it's been mentioned. But everybody has this Word, has this life within them.
Amen.
You know, everybody has this life within them.
Yes.
And that's what he's saying there. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach or to speak the life that is within me.
Amen.
And that is within you. And he hath has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So whom the Spirit sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And then in verse 2 there it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim that has to be a fact. That has to be settled within you. You have to know this of an surety to proclaim something.
Amen.
To proclaim it, you got to know it.
Yes.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That comfort is the Word that is within you and I, is to do the comforting.
Amen.
And then in verse 3 he says there, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And that appoint in the Hebrew is impute, purpose, reward. It is up to you and I to impute, to manifest the Christ that is within us that the world can see.
Amen.
That's the only Christ the world is going to see, is what's in you and I.
That's right.
And that's the only way it's going to be. And what we have to do is impute that to one another, to lift one another up.
Amen.
To give unto them beauty for ashes. Now as you begin to notice what the Spirit is showing you here, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the morning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Now what he's showing you there is that restoring, you know, the beauty for the ashes. He is restoring. That's what the Word does. The Word restores to you and I. It restores to individuals. To be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now turn back over to John and we'll continue on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
John 21 and we'll go with verse 3. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night, they caught nothing. So what I want us to look at here is you and I, as these disciples entering this ship, that ship is carrying precious cargo.
Amen.
Same as you and I. We're carrying the Holy Spirit. We're carrying a precious cargo.
Amen.
And then in verse 4, but when the morning was now come, the morning is coming. If you are in your night season, the morning is coming. The morning will come. And I praise the Lord that the morning has come for each and every one of us. The light is shining on each and every one of us to light the path of the righteous. And Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So, as we begin to look at this, He's training His disciples for the reigning. He is training you and I to reign in His kingdom. He is training us. This is a training here. This is the third day. You know, this is the finality, the completeness of what He's trying to bring in each and every one of our lives. And Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Okay, so what had changed here? Why didn't they know that it was Jesus? They had been with Him. They had seen all the miracles that He had done. So what has changed? Same thing that happens to you and I. The darkness, our dark times. You know, we forget that He's still on the throne. We forget who we are in the night seasons. When we're heavy, you know, we're supposed to just roll that load over. That's His load. That's not my load. You know. So He shows us here that here's these disciples that had been with Him and seen all these miracles, and yet, you know, He's training them. You know, He's bringing this about of recognition that, you know, it's the night season. That's when I want to be manifested as well as in the day. Everybody can manifest Him in the good times. But it's the times when you're loaded down, the heavy times. That's when that Christ is to be manifested in you and I.
Amen.
That's what people see. You know, it's not out here as the world puts in the do's and don'ts. You know, it's out here in everyday life putting shoe leather to it. You know, that people see, you know, well, how's this brother doing this when I know, you know, he's having a hard time? Well, you know, that's the Christ being manifested in each and every one of us.
Amen.
That's the reason the Spirit of the Lord is upon us.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
That they see the Christ. But He says here, and knew not that it was Jesus. And then, and this is what I like in verse 5. And then Jesus saith unto them, and He's speaking unto them, speaking unto a corporate body, just as we are a corporate body here. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And I believe that's what the Lord is asking today. Children, do you have any meat?
Amen.
Do you have the Word?
Yes.
The Word that is bubbling in within each and every one of us. And we seem to oppress it and hold it back. You know, but He's asking them here, Children, have you any meat? And these are not children. These are disciples. These are grown men. So what He's trying to show us here is children, and such as the kingdom of heaven, is the children that we become solely and totally dependent upon Him for everything.
Amen.
For every need in our life, for every area.
Glory,
it's Him, and we've got to be totally dependent upon Him. Let's look at this meat here for just a minute. In this same chapter, in John 4, Let's dissect this a little bit, what he's saying here. John 4 and verse 31. Let's start at 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. So it's not in what you're thinking in the food. It's the meat in the Word, you know. For the kingdom of heaven is not in meat and drink. So in verse 34, or 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? There we fall back into, the disciples fall back into that natural thinking, you know, not hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because we always got to allow this up here to get in the way, or want to add to or take away from what the Spirit is trying to say.
Amen, that's right.
And he's not talking about the natural food.
That's right.
And in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat, and this should be our meat right here, my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me and to finish his work. That should be our meat, is to do his will.
Amen.
And the only way you're going to do his will is to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Amen.
Hear what he's saying today.
Glory.
Children, have you any meat?
Yes.
Let's look at 23 in this same chapter here. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So he's seeking out you and I. And as the other night, as the ministry was nudged, you know, I mean, he's nudging each and every one of us to move out and to hear what the Spirit is saying, to mature, to grow up, you know. And even though he called these disciples children, he was only meaning that in a sense that the children are so dependent, you know, upon the parent. So he wants us totally dependent upon him in everything. And in verse 24 it says there, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Must. It's a must. There's no other way. It's going to be by the Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's going to be by the Spirit. So forget any other way. There's no shortcuts. It's by the Spirit and by the Spirit only. Turn to John 6 and 38. Chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will. Woo, that's tough. You know, it's just, you got to forget your own, you know, and that's putting self down. It's got to be his way or no way. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is in verse 39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Now here it is, but should raise it up again at the last day. So he's talking about the restoring. The restoring, he said, to raise it up again at the last day. The restoring of you and I.
Yes.
Because we're living beneath where we ought to be living.
Amen.
You know, so he wants to restore each and every one of us. And that word in there where it says, I don't know the scripture, but it says, has made us sit in heavenly places. I understand that scripture a little bit better, because I understand he's saying, I have made you sit there. Because we want to get up. We want to get up and move into confusion. We want to get up and move into unrestless, being unrestful. You know, when he said, I have made you sit in heavenly places. You know, he has established that. He has made us sit there. So we need to stay seated in that rest that he has already provided for us.
Amen.
And when we move out of that, then he has to restore us. The Word has to restore us.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about, that life that's in that word that restores.
Amen.
That restores your neighbor, that restores, you know, the guy at work or the lady at work.
Yes.
Not necessarily that you do anything other than, you know, you may praise the Lord,
yes,
shout hallelujah, you know. Or you may not do nothing, just the aura of that life that is within you just blesses another individual. It's like I said earlier, Grace, when she, you know, I hear it at our church, hey, mine, you know, that's such a blessing to me.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, and hey, that's nothing, you know, spectacular, but it blesses me.
Amen.
You know, and she didn't do anything spectacular, but you know, amen, you know, but that amen just, it blessed my soul, you know, it blessed my spirit. So, you know, it's not in your do's and your don'ts. It's just, you know, seeking after the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
But let's go on here. And just in case you're not sure that that's what that verse meant, he makes it a little bit plainer for you in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, who's he talking about raising up? Raising up you and I. Restoring us back to what he has already accomplished in our lives.
Amen.
That we're living beneath what God has already established. You know, we're living beneath it. Anytime you're not in at peace, you're not in at rest, you're living beneath what God has already established for you. And, you know, the Lord put me on rest here a while back, and I did a study on that, and I was moved in and out of my rest so much it was pathetic, you know. But I mean, that's the way the Lord deals with you, you know, so that you recognize these things, you know. And I realize, you know, this rest that he's already provided for me. And that if any time that I'm not at peace or not at rest, then I'm not doing the will of the Lord. I'm not resting in what he's already provided for me. So I praise him for the rest that he's already provided. And in this same chapter right here while we're in it, in verse 27, he talks about the meat here again. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That's the meat he's talking about, the meat of the Word, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.
Yeah.
In other words, he's already accomplished this. He's already prearranged everything for our life. So it is up to us to move in and enjoy this peace, this life that he's already predestined for each and every one of us. Turn back over to chapter 21. And we'll try to finish this on up here. We go to verse 6. And he saith unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. So here's the life of the Word. By hearing from the Spirit, the Lord is going to give you an abundance. By hearing the Spirit. And these disciples here were obedient to that Word.
Amen.
You know, in Philippians 2:8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death.
Yes.
Now he found, being found in the fashion of a man. We find ourselves being fashioned as men and women, you know. And so he shows us here that he humbled himself. Now, how do you become obedient? You humble yourself.
Yes, amen.
He humbled himself so that he became obedient. That's what we have to do. We have to humble ourselves,
amen,
to hear the Spirit of the Lord, that we can be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, taking up our cross daily. You know, I know an individual, or I'd heard him say one time when A fellow said, "Well, I thank you, Lord, that everything has just been so wonderful this morning, and I hadn't got upset, and I haven't cursed or anything like that." And he said, "But I really need your help because I'm fixing to get out of the bed now." You know, so that's, you know, we have to submit. We have to be obedient. We have to humble our own selves. But you know, that is life.
Yeah.
That is everyday life out there, you know. And that, you know, that is the life.
Yeah.
That is humbling yourself. That is being honest before the Lord.
Amen.
But these disciples were obedient to that. They humbled themselves so that they could hear the word of the Lord. And in verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." So Peter shows us there in the natural he was naked, or he had on his equipment. He was equipped to do the work. We have to be equipped to do the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is being submitted. That is being humble. That is hearing what the Spirit has to say. Not hearing what I think we ought to do or what you think we ought to do, but hearing what the Spirit... And sometimes, you know, as I think G.C. had mentioned last night, sometimes just shutting up, not saying nothing, you know, is the will of the Lord. Because sometimes we want to speak out of what we think is right for that situation, and, you know, we don't know. That's the reason we depend totally upon the Spirit.
Amen.
But anyway, and in verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish." So that 200 cubits is no more than 300 feet. So, and that 300 to me reminds me of the Gideon 300. Where they took 32,000 men to besiege, to go into battle, you know. And the Lord said, no, said, you know, we're gonna drop that back, you know, because then man gets in their own ideas that, well, I done it, you know. And that's not what it's about. It's everything, it's Him.
Yeah.
It's all Him. And the next breath I take is because of Him.
Hallelujah.
And I praise Him. I praise Him today. But this 300 here, he shows us that, you know, it he's only going to allow you to get out so far, okay? And it's not going to be in your doings. It's totally in His.
Yes.
And then in verse 9, "And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereupon, and bread." So he shows us there that preparation has already been made. Ephesians 1 and 5 says that, you know, He has predestined us from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So He shows us there that, you know, He's already pre-planned all this. He's already got the fish laid thereupon and the bread. And then in verse 10 here, it says, "Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Give out of the abundance that the Lord has blessed you with, because there is a restoring. The Lord is going to bless. The blessings are going to overtake each and every one of you if you stay submitted and subject unto the Spirit of the Lord. The blessings will overtake you. And then when they do, He tells you here to give out of your abundance. And then verse 11, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." So He shows you here, this 153 is what I want to look at. This 100 means the hundredfold, which means that's what He's going to restore, the hundredfold. He's going to restore you and I to where we should be, a hundredfold. Let me look at a scripture here. Matthew 13, you don't have to turn to it. 23, "But But he that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So that word, that life, bringing forth that hundredfold, that is being led by that Spirit that we was talking about. And the disciples brought forth out of their abundance. So they was restored to that hundredfold. Okay, and the 50 here means Pentecost. And it was the second of the three yearly feasts or festivals. A time of joy. A time to rejoice.
Yes.
We're living in a day and a time that is time to rejoice. A time to have that joy that's maybe been stolen from you.
Yes.
You know. To have that joy restored in your life.
Hallelujah.
And the Pentecost was 7 weeks. And of course, you know, the 7 weeks relates to the seven disciples here that we've been talking about. Okay, and the three is representing Trinity, or the third day, which is what we're living in.
Amen.
And that's where Jesus here was appearing to his disciples the third time. That walking in completeness, Jesus appeared the third time here to these disciples.
Yeah.
And this is all confirmation of what the word of the Lord says and what we're hearing. What we've heard in this conference here. This is all confirmation to His Word.
Amen.
And He's showing us this is bringing forth a blessing of a hundredfold, or the Word, feasting of joy, which is the 50, and in the third day. You know, this is what He's trying to show us. Another confirmation to this Word here is Jesus feeding the multitude. Turn over to Mark 6 and 38. Let me go back up here to 36. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now this is what the disciples was telling Jesus to do to them. You know, send them away. This is such a burden. That's the way the church wants to do sometimes. You know, they don't want the responsibility. There's a huge responsibility here. And it says, for they have nothing to eat. The world out there has nothing to eat unless you and I take it to them to eat. They have nothing to eat. There's nothing for them to eat out there. In verse 38, and he saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. The 5 and the 2 is representing the 7 that we was talking about in completeness. It's not in the numbers. Don't get me wrong. I'm just tying the numbers into the word here.
Yes, amen.
And he commanded them to make all sit down. So he's commanded all of us to rest in what he's already accomplished by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And it shows you here that they were with Jesus the 3 days. This is the 3 days that they was with him. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. That is the word. That is the life in the word. To give them to eat, that they all be filled. And he shows us here, we turn back over to John 21. And he shows us yet in that verse 11 last of that, yet was not the net broken. The net's not going to break.
Amen.
He's going to uphold here.
Yes.
He's going to uphold.
Hallelujah.
He's going to lift you up.
Amen.
So he's saying that the net didn't break. So there's none lost. If your heart's toward any of your family members that's not in this walk, just hold on.
Yeah,
none will be lost.
Amen.
None will be lost.
Amen.
The Lord will restore.
Amen.
And in verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And that's what he's telling us in this convention. Come and dine.
Amen.
Come and dine on the word, on the meat that I have already prepared. Come and dine. And none of the disciples doeth ask him, who art thou? They didn't ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. It's established in us. We know the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus made it so obvious in this right here. When he appeared before the disciples, he was the only one standing on the shore. Wasn't nobody else standing on it. So he makes it very obvious that you'll understand if you submit yourself. You'll understand the Spirit of the Lord. You'll hear. You'll know that voice. You won't be, because I know in times past, years ago, and I've questioned, what was that, the Lord? Was that him? You'll know with a surety that it's the Lord. He'll be standing on the shore, so obvious, nobody else around. Yes. You'll be able to know the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
And who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. So there's so much in this right here, and I can't hit all on all of it, but when it jumps out at me, I have to bring it out. Jesus shows us here that he becomes as a servant.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he did right there. He cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise, to serve. That is this walk is being a servant. Humbling yourself to serve one another, not esteem the other more than yourself. If you have any problem with that, that's all you got to do. Just lift somebody else up, and don't worry about yourself, because the Lord's response was, as Bob's always made a comment, and I like it. He said, I'm not responsible for myself, The Lord's responsible for me. But in saying that, you have to be submitted to Him. You have to be hearing instruction for you not to be responsible for yourself. So, don't mistake that the wrong way. But in verse 14, and this now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples, after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So that's what he's saying to us today. Feed his lambs. And he says it on down there, feed my sheep, the next one in 16. He's saying, serve my sheep, feed my sheep, three times there. He tells us on in those verses there. And then in 19, this spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow the Spirit. The Lord asks you today, children, do you have any meat? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. In other words, help mature the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're all on different levels of walking with the Lord. So whatever level that you're at, each and every one of us have a part.
Amen.
To feed His lambs.
Amen.
To feed the world. Because the Scripture told us over there, they have nothing to eat. So I just praise the Lord today that I'm subject unto Him. And that I hear what the Spirit is saying, that there's a world that's hurting out there that needs to be fed.
Right.
And in the process, we're enjoying the meat and maturing ourselves.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord for what He's showing us.
Hallelujah.
That's, I'm going to unplug it right there. Unless anybody got any comments. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Did good. A lot of meat in there. No bones. This is boneless fish. Hallelujah. He's taking all the bones out for us, you know. It's amazing. That something jumped out at me there, you know, when you said that Jesus on the seashore there. They're out there toiling, fishing. They've got this big net to drag in with all this fish, and Jesus, he's got the fire lit. There's fish on the fire, pre-boned. No fear of choking on this. No fear of choking on this. This is good, fresh food, and he's got it all ready for you. And he's just saying, come on, come on, come on, dine. Come on and dine. Feed on this. And this is the finest. Hallelujah. This is the finest. Glory to God. You know, and if you're having problems with this, then, well, we need to lay hands on you and get your digestive system sorted out. And see God moving in you. Amen. Praise God. That's a good word. There's a lot in there. You need that tape because you're going to have to go back and go back and go back. A lot of meat to pull out. Blessed time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good.